Hello and welcome to this episode of the Venus and Vesta Evolutionary Astrology Podcast. And of course, we are still in the middle of the Mercury retrograde shadow zone as Mercury is coming through forward and direct and forcing us, because this isn't gentle, to wake up to our Leo sovereignty. So it's like a little burst of Leo season still continuing, and it's reigniting those points of August 2017 eclipse in America and last year's Venus retrograde, which started at 28 degrees Leo. But this is what we're still happening. We're being ignited here. Let's put our crowns on because we have got more to look forward to. We are now coming into eclipse season. We have the equinox coming up, but also I've discovered a little bit of magic I've been looking at as well. But this coming week is exciting. Gosh, it starts on Sunday. When do you start your week? Sunday the 8th or Monday the 9th? But depending on which day, however you start that week, the main aspect is going to be the sun sailing through Virgo, inviting us to be more discerning, of course, and maybe a little bit more careful and definitely more healthy. And it's then going to be making a square to Jupiter in Gemini at 19 degrees. So this is happening on the 12th of September, the Wednesday. So what have you got around or on or around 19 degrees in either of these signs or elsewhere, or in earth signs particularly, or air signs, to make this an easy flow of energy with one of these signs? Because really, a precise, careful Virgo sun squaring an abundant, effervescent Jupiter in Gemini, having fun, being the trickster, flitting around, making easy connections. Those two are sort of, you know, they're not wildly different, but they have got a sort of energy that goes in different directions. It might not be that easy, this square, but it's going to goad us into action, I feel. And that action is perhaps this is the bit of the irritation that forces the hand that creates the pearl. And we want to create the pearl, don't we? Perhaps in amongst the Jupiter crashing, banging around in the information media world of Gemini, and also the shady parts of Gemini, the dark twin, where we're getting a front row view of all those subconscious projections, or where indeed our information is being censored. Just take a look at Brazil banning X, Twitter. Isn't it funny? We've all got to qualify that X. We've got it, it's banning X, Twitter. Outrageous to the Brazilians that no longer have X. And then the British government were considering, I read the other day, planning to invite UK citizens to download an app that tells them what they can and cannot say. How do you think that's going to go down? I wish they'd do it just to make sure more people wake up to the dystopian future that's being created for us, that we are heading full speed ahead if they don't wake up. So yeah, go ahead, be my guest, make us all, or try to get us to download that app. Reminding me of the time when there was an alert coming through that they had this early warning system and they wanted everyone to be aware at this time that this was going to come through their phones. The government were planning this, but there was a way you could turn it off. And I think 99% of the population of Great Britain turned it off in their phones. So that didn't work. That was quite good, I felt. That was good. People did understand what was happening there. But coming back to now, astrologically, you can see there's a demonstration here of how Jupiter, by these things, of course, how Jupiter can get excessive and overblown in his actions just by those two things of the government considering making us all find out whether we can say things or not. A grown-ass population can look to the government to see what they can say. And also Brazil censoring us. This is the overblown actions of Jupiter in Gemini. It's getting excessive because Jupiter is a good planet, but it does, there's the too much of a good thing. Jupiter in Gemini doesn't have to be overblown and excessive, just that there is that tendency. And I think we forget we're not the Brazilian or the British government. We can be aware of it. Beware of that excess hilarity and excess media consumption. Oh, God, yeah, the doom scrolling. Because we do think of Jupiter as this planet of blessings. It is a benefic, as they call, as a malefic and a benefic. We don't use that word in common parlance, do we? Benefic. It is a benefic. And in fact, it comes up on spell check. But certainly you can have too much of a good thing here. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can have a marvellous time with Jupiter in Gemini and make tons of easy connections that inspire us and help us to look at life and situations in a completely new ways. Could be great. But of course, there is the square to Virgo. There is this slight warning. Virgo is here making us do the right thing so that we can use this Jupiter in Gemini to write our book, check our details, plan ahead, but then also to make friends, to go that extra mile, to talk to people you don't perhaps wouldn't, and be extra social, but discerningly social, not crazily social. It isn't Leo season still. But and also don't exhaust ourselves. Now, with the sun in Virgo making this square, we have this reminder, the Virgo essence of doing the right thing in the right way and bringing us back to what is good and true. And this square is enabling us to check in on ourselves before it all goes awry. And of course, Mercury is leaving the shadow zone on the same day. So this is a huge set of clarity, huge progress moving forward, that we have this kind of burst, this set to piece midweek, that's Wednesday the 12th, where we will be encouraged and feeling like we want to look at what's going on in the detail and read the small print. Whoever does that, the Brazilian and the British governments will also get their own sense check. Maybe they might have the sense check to rein in on their censorship activity. Or will they use this square to force it even harder? And I think the latter. But for us personally, we know what's coming up and we can make necessary corrections and edit our output for a while, if you get what I mean. And know that whilst we're using our discernment Virgo tool to apply ourselves to two, that this can bring us to a better place. Mercury is moving into new grounds. And of course, Mercury rules both Virgo and Gemini. So this rulership and coming out of this shadow is like, da-da, come on, we can make things happen. The Virgo is going, come on, let's plan ahead. Let's get this thing going, but let's not be excessive. One of the good things that Jupiter in Gemini has given us, because you're obviously digging out, bringing out lots of information, is the fact that the Portuguese courts have declared that the COVID-19 PCR tests are unreliable and potentially up to 90% inaccurate. That's Jupiter in Gemini giving us facts and Virgo season opening the door to our health concerns. Then, of course, the mainstream media are completely silent on this news. But will they be able to stay silent as this square comes into its peak midweek? But I personally thought that we'd already knew that these COVID tests were redundant and weren't fit for purpose. They weren't designed for that anyway, and that's what's been said all along. But people are still using them and declaring that they have COVID. You may have noticed this, and of course, it's going to get more and more into the winter or into the autumn in the Northern Hemisphere. But this legal case in Portugal, the legal case states that PCR tests, that they overprescribe to the power of 35 times or more, so that a person, and I quote, has the chance that a person is infectious is less than 3%. With a positive result. And the chance that the person receives a false positive result is 97% or higher. I thought we knew those statistics. So the fact that it's just coming out again now, you know, how many more people have to bring this about for people to stop using them as an indication? But this court quotes letters from the Journal of Clinical Infectious Diseases. So let's see if that gets augmented or spread even further. Hopefully, this is the blessing of Virgo season. And now, while we're getting our Virgo ducks in a row, sorting our lives out in amongst this media for all going on in Jupiter in Gemini, we have this kind of revelation, shall we say, Wednesday the 12th of September. On the 15th, so at the weekend, is a really lovely and extremely fortuitous energy of Venus in Libra, her home sign, in a flowing trine with Jupiter, abundant Jupiter. So this is really good for anyone with air signs around the 20 degree mark, or indeed anything in sextile to this, one but sign over. This can be really creative and extremely satisfying. This is the energy for the week. It is like something for the weekend, sir. This is loving. It's romantic. It's fun. You can make really good connections and be really creative and lift your mind to higher things with this. So I'm quite excited about that 15. I think we have to go with that flow of good energy, take it where we can. And it's coming really right after we've made those corrections with the Virgo Sun square Jupiter, if indeed we have made those corrections. And of course, it's coming this wonderful weekend we've got to enjoy right before the eclipse. And so I think we can safely relax into this whole lovely weekend with this exalted wishful thinking and dream up your best outcomes. Dream up what you want to happen. Put all your hopes into that and think big, be imaginative, because that's what the eclipse also wants you to do. That's where the eclipse is working towards. The eclipse is in Pisces. And although I'm saying we use this energy because we want something fortuitous, we want to bring out our best and our best dreams, this is the dreamscape because it's going to be in Pisces. And the eclipse is going to be a few days after, on the 17th in America, 18th in September, so the Tuesday, Wednesday, and the exact time is, some say it's 3:34, I looked at it and it said 3:35 on astro.com. in the UK on the Wednesday on the 18th. So it's the 17th in the USA, 18th from Africa and Europe onwards. So we're switching from this wonderful beneficial weekend to the week where we have this major mystical eclipse. And also, because it's at the nighttime in the UK, if you can be bothered to get up in the middle of the night in the UK or Europe, and it's not raining, you will see the moon turn a lovely shade of red. You know, remembering that the ancients would hide in their houses and shut the windows, and that Steiner says, those that run out into the woods in the night looking for the eclipse under the eclipse moon would be encouraging their fate with the shadow beings. But we might be a little cleverer than that, or not. And I do think we have to have these good intentions from the weekend before, but staying with us, have that goodness about us and assume that here under this mystical moon that like attracts light, so that we can stay in our most positive vibes possible. So I think that weekend can't come soon enough, really, and we're really brilliantly placed. And of course, this is a lunar eclipse, meaning the sun and the moon are in a full moon. They're opposite each other. And the moon in Pisces, watery, dreamy Pisces, and it's going to reach its eclipse peak at 25 degrees Pisces. So the eclipsed moon will, of course, be in between Saturn retrograde at 15 degrees and Neptune retrograde at 28 degrees. That's a nice little sandwich of mystical wanderings there. And it's got the support of steadiness there. But even, however, using a 10 degree orb of this eclipse, we are just out of the conjunction with the steadying influence of Saturn. But right under the magical spell of Neptune, the great illusion, planet of deception and of glamour. So Neptune here, Neptune is at the head of a kite aspect and was at the head of this same, yes, the same kite last summer. And that kite was live during the Venus retrograde last summer, August, and it stayed on into September as well. So now at this eclipse, we've got Neptune and the moon. And they're both at the head of this kite formation. And this is bringing extra intensity, extra illusory power to cast deep and fascinating spells on humanity. This is really time to get out your cauldron and mix something juicy up. And to quote those witches, fillet of fenny snake in the cauldron, boil and bake. Eye of newt, toe of frog, wool of bat and tongue of dog. Adder's fork and blind worm sting, lizard's leg and owlet's wing. For a charm of powerful trouble, like a hell broth, boil and bubble. That was my part in Shakespeare when I was at school. Funny, I was already cast as the witch. But then, anyway, you get my drift. This is what this mystical element of this eclipse is about. But this is also where the elites, those in positions of power, are able to pull another veil of glamour over the naive and the helpless, the oppressed and asleep, and cast them deeper into their hypnosis, truly. We could see a major move being pulled here that makes people believe that their governments have got their back, or believe, in a more personal level, that their abuser truly loves them. This is like Stockholm syndrome writ large. People could be walking on hot coals into the fire under the spell of this lunation, truly. We have the mystical Neptune in the last months of dreamy, imaginative Pisces, which has been forcing us, allowing us, lulling us deeper into the sleep. Whilst some of us have gone so far, we've gone to see the Wizard of Oz in that dream. We've gone so deep, we've actually woken up to see the out the other side, to see the old geeky man behind the curtain control, making all the controls. There may be more spells coming around. And I'm not even joking about the possibility of hypnotic spells to increase that delusion, because there is the lulling into a sense of security, that you're being looked after, things are going to be okay, forgetting, not really bothering to look at what's going on and, oh, it's just a conspiracy theory or it's all going to be fine. They wouldn't do that, would they? So this delusion, this eclipse could bring about a huge hypnotic lie, a delusion that some people are just going to look at and go, oh my God. And other people are going, oh, of course. This could come in the form of another big fat lie. Or it could come in the form of major chemicals sprayed into the atmosphere. Because, of course, chemicals are very Neptunian. Neptune rules the fogs, the mists, the gases, as well as the seas. And in it, that could be coming down from the sky, in whether that's in rain or in a chemical spray. But also, in addition to this, it's worth noting that Neptune rules the immune system. And this may come into focus as humanity collectively understands what has happened to our immune or collective immune from the previous and very recent abuses from overuse of pharmaceuticals. Potentially there's going to be, not only is there going to be flooding in some areas, and there's going to be a focus on the immune. And Herbert Hurd, we're looking forward to seeing what this Neptune eclipse is going to bring, because of course at any full moon, the seas, the tides are rising, but this is also a super moon, because the moon is going to be closer to the earth. It's actually going to look spectacular if you're up for going up, getting up in the middle of the night to watch it. It's going to look really good. So that part of it is pleasing if you're not getting rained on or having floods coming through or having your immune compromised. But there are other quite dramatic mystical elements to this eclipse. It's super powerful. A lot of them are, but this is powerful in a quite mystical and also discombobulating kind of way. Because firstly, the Moon and Neptune, two of the most mystical, spiritually aligned, emotional planets, they are conjunct and at the head of a kite formation. As I mentioned, the kite formation from last summer that was live then. So we're going to get recognition from what was going on then. Kite formation is rare, and it really, the kite will be showing us where we're looking to go to. The head of the kite is, that's where we're heading, where we are being drawn to quite powerfully. And then on the wings of the kite, you're giving us key support like wings do. You know, on one side, we've got the crazy ass Uranus who is firing lightning bolts across the planet right now to insert revolution and unrest and bring about enlightenment, wake us up, for God's sake. And then on the other side is the dark and deadly power of Pluto, who is in his last throes of the patriarchy now in Capricorn. He is the big guns, the big power. But you know, this kind of power, ultimately, it corrupts. So the tail of this kite is the precise and exacting force of the Virgo sun for us to do the right thing, but also efficiently make the right plans, take notes, understand things, make sure you do understand things, do have a sense check. And this Virgo sun is, in all of this, is the grounding energy, the grounding of all these wild and quite willful energies. So we really have to keep our wits about us with this kite formation that the eclipse moon and Neptune are at the head of. And then the second part of this idea is that this is a full-scale lunar eclipse, never mind anything else, but a full-scale lunar eclipse in the mystical sign of the romantic, the seer, the healer, the spiritually connected, the innocent, and also what brings us together in collective pain, sorrow, the collective unconscious, like a mass empath, all of us in a letting go scenario, letting go together. And in that could be a lot of death throes. And of course, we are having news of so much death going on in the world with the wars at the moment. This eclipse has got this otherworldly quality, really tenfold otherworldly quality. And of course, as well as the fact that this eclipse is a supermoon, looking absolutely amazing, drawing us in, we can't help but be hypnotized by it. And Neptune in this spot has done so much already to dissolve the boundaries between the physical world and not already, that this moon is sitting there right next to Neptune, this eclipse here, is we're going to be drawn open, opened up, if you like, that our boundaries of ourselves, our physicality, are ready to be dissolved here. And we're drawn into a greater sense of our spiritual selves. This is going to be like a really good time to get into your meditative practice and just open up your mind to receive from spirit. Even to bring on like ecstatic rapture of oneness or the communion with spirit or even your spirit guides. This is the chance to go, I'm opening up to receive and definitely received of all the manifesting you might have been doing. Bring it on, open up and allow your energetic self, your emotional self to feel into things and get your mind out of the way. Saying that, I feel that whilst we are aligning with those, that energetic feel of ourselves and our emotional landscape, I feel this moon has the power to make a huge shift in our consciousness, opening us up even further to our interdimensional selves and connecting us to the dream time, the collective dream time. So we want that to flow. We want that to flow. And that's why that weekend before is such a good time to be feeling and having a lovely time, feeling the joy. This is the first eclipse in Pisces occurring before the nodes shift out of Aries Libra and into the Pisces Virgo axis. So this eclipse is the nodes are at 6 degrees and this is happening at 25 degrees. So there is a near 11 degree difference there. But that, so it's not an exact and it's not a total, but that's still, it's going to be a powerful one. The nodes don't shift into Virgo Pisces until the 10th of January 2025. Here we're going to be ready with this Pisces eclipse. We're ready for the major dissolving of our current programming, increased hypnotic states, increased delusion, increased alternative ideas here, but further creativity, further spiritual growth, further alignment with our dreams and what we want. These nodes that were last in Pisces Virgo axis in March 2016 to February 2017. So that's quite, though they were an opposite way around, but you can check back then and see what was going on for you at that point. And before that, the North Node was in Pisces from June the 23rd, 2006 to December the 18th, 2007. So look back to what was happening then. Remember, because this is the Pisces Virgo axis, and that is a health axis as well. Remember that Pisces and Neptune, Neptune in Pisces, Pisces and Neptune separately, are about the immune, like where you don't have good boundaries and disease can get in. You haven't got the energy or the defences to push it out. That's where that the immune is with Pisces and Neptune. But on conversely, Virgo is also about your health in terms of your digestion and your metabolism, about when you bring things in and you actually assimilate them and use them effectively. So those things might be coming up as well as we turn this move into this axis, which again, as I start, it comes on the 10th of June, 2025 is when we make that shift into the Pisces Virgo axis. So as well, for this eclipse, there are other aspects going around too. So it's not just this incredible, mystical, spiritual, dreamlike and delusional as well eclipse. There is the fact that I've just mentioned Jupiter in Gemini having a bit of a blast at this point of the eclipse. Jupiter in Gemini will be at 20 degrees Gemini, and therefore in a T-square, not an exact one, but a T-square to this eclipse. And this is Jupiter, the planet of abundance, wants in on this action. And so it's as much as a lunar eclipse is bringing about this deception, this illusion, it's also bringing about the imagination and spiritual forces. And Jupiter is going to be the inspiration here, the urge to speak. We even write about this or even get it out, like connect on that level, to connect with others who are feeling the same and perhaps have more voices heard about the issues that the eclipse will bring up. This is the telephone to God. And of course, this could also be the crunch time of not allowing us to speak, but there is the urge to speak. And this is also, yeah, the telephone to God, to the cosmos, as well as whatever or whoever we are speaking about or to down here on earth, that goes straight up to the heavens. So, you know, it's that thing. Be careful what you wish for, because the gods are listening very much so, with Jupiter in Gemini on this, against this axis of the full moon's eclipse axis. Also at the same time, because the sun has now reached 25 degrees Virgo, there is going to be a grand earth trine at the same time. So there is Virgo, 25 degrees sun, and 27 degrees Uranus in Taurus, and 29 degrees Pluto in Capricorn, three earth signs. And this, because Virgo is moving forwards, is going to get tighter in the days after the eclipse. She only has to move on 2 days to get to 27 degrees to be exact with Uranus, and then another 2 days to be exact with Capricorn. So she's really playing with those big gums. And we know Virgo can make things happen. She has the decision-making qualities, the discernment, the efficiency to make the energy of these two big planets that she's in a grand trine with totally effective. So, you know, it's with their digital money, their voting fraud plans, their farming and food corruption and production and potential as well solutions to a sustainable future, as well as, you know, the protection of our physical bodies. It's like Virgo's going to come and go, come on, what are we doing here? How are we going to sort this out? Are we going to make this happen? Because in a grand earth trine, the earth signs that don't move so easily can now start to move mountains. We are going to see big shifts happening. Things that we didn't feel that could really move are now, we don't feel like there's going to be these changes, but actually they are going to come about because of this grand earth trine. This is incredible. We are in hugely exciting and astrologically intense times. And so I feel that the other side of this eclipse, when we've got through this grand earth trine as well, we were going to go and look at each other in wonderment at what it has brought around for us. Check this eclipse and what it's going to do for you. It's going to be at 25 degrees Pisces. And I want to hear, you know, how it works for you. We've got another 2 weeks though. So I'm going to continue for more of this in next week. So I want to thank you for listening and look forward to hearing any of your stories. So see you on the other side.